Thanks so much for having me tonight, guys. Super pumped and excited and encouraged at the men's ministry here that you guys come together regularly, it sounds like, as guys. And so what a privilege to be able to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me. And so I guess kind of being asked by Pete to address some men, as you probably guessed, my normal audience is slightly younger. Target audience is mainly teenagers and primary kids. And so so I kind of thought, as men, where's our common ground? What's important from the Bible? What can we learn as men? And so I thought, to start out, who's your role model? Actually, who was your role model? And so, thanks, Lucky. I always get that first one, that first slide. There we go. Does anyone know who that is? Okay, so this is, 1990, her name is Jane Fleming. So when I was in year five, she's an Olympic track and field star, and I used to love athletics when I was a kid, and she was my role model. And so I asked my father-in-law who his role model was. Has anyone heard of a guy called Herb Elliott? Does anyone know Herb Elliott, a mile runner? Yeah, I'd not heard of him, but quite an amazing athlete from what I hear. And so I was wondering, just for a moment, I'll give you about a minute, just talk to the person next to you. Who was your role model as a kid? Have a think about that. Who was your role model? Maybe why as well? I'll give you about a minute. Have a think about that. All right. Can anyone let me know, maybe the person they spoke to, who are some role models out there? Leyland Brothers. Oh, man. Do you remember Leyland Brothers World? Do you remember that? Driving past, a little Ayers Rock on the way out. Leyland Brothers. Awesome. Anyone else? Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Yep. Family. Yep. For men. Beautiful. Yeah? It's the impact that the Sunday school teachers can have is amazing, isn't it? I never underestimate. Thanks, Ken. Awesome. All right. So moving on from there, what about now? Do we have role models now? And so I came up, kind of went through, had a bit of chat with Amanda, and you know, there's lots of people that could be role models, really, as adults. I mean, we could for different reasons. Thanks, Lockie. You know, we've got a bevy up there. As sports people or entrepreneurs, businessmen, you know, who do we want to emulate? What is it to be a man, a husband, a father? And you might not be surprised that I might suggest the best role model is Jesus. And so as men, we are called to be, if we are Christian people, if we are Christian men, to be patient, to be kind, to be forgiving, to be loving of our children, our partners, to be hardworking. We want to be like Jesus. We want to have our trust in God. We want to use our strength to protect. We want to not be quick to lose our tempers, and we know when to speak and when to listen. To be joyous, to be positive role models, to be faithful. The list goes on with Jesus. We should, right? That's the goal. But of course, we fall short, and we do fall short. Because the reality is, for myself anyway, is that I'm selfish. I'm impatient, I'm short-tempered, and probably, to be honest, sometimes not a great role model. But thankfully, the Bible actually gives us a number of other men that we can look to. And it's full of such kind of men that are, help us to understand that although great men, they are flawed. What does it mean as a Christian, or even not as a Christian, to serve God as a broken man? And so you may know the names Abraham, Moses, Noah, Joseph, King David, and his son Solomon. All of these great men, all of them sinners, all fall short. However, all of them are still good options as role models for aspects of our lives. But today, the man I wanted to talk about tonight, is Peter. Now, Peter, you may remember from the New Testament, formerly called Simon. The chief apostle, he's known as, primary evangelist, ultimate martyr for the faith, author of books in the New Testament. But the Peter I want to talk about today is not that man. The Peter I want to talk about today is the man before then. I can actually relate to him a little bit better, and perhaps you can too. So here's the context that I'd like to give you. Jesus is with his disciples. They've just had their Last Supper. One of his mates, Judas, has just gone and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, and in comes a mob. And the mob, it tells us in the Bible, that has weapons, has torches and lanterns, and they come to arrest Jesus. And so let me just read from John chapter 18 to let you know, to tell you what happens as they try and arrest this man, Jesus. Simon Peter, it says, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away." Okay, this is Peter's reaction. He used his physical strength and his fury, and he steps in and he makes his mark. He chops off an ear. And straight away, Jesus says, no, this isn't the fight. This isn't the fight that I've come to fight. Skip forward a couple hours. They've taken Jesus. They give him this kind of mock trial, basically a fast of a trial. They spit at him, they punch him, they make fun of him. And as this is happening, Peter kind of follows the throng, follows Jesus. And he's at a distance. He's kind of watching what's going on. Let me read along with me. It's from Mark. It says, "While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. 'You were with that Nazarene Jesus,' she said. But he denied it. 'I don't know or understand what you're talking about,' he said. And he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said to those standing around, 'This fellow's one of them.' Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, 'Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean.' He began to call down curses and he swore to them." Do you notice that? Curses and swearing. I won't do any of that here. It's not appropriate, but you can just imagine. He says, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. And then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll disown me three times." And he broke down and he wept. And so Peter, this man who was so courageous to swing his sword and chop off an ear, suddenly in this situation, he chokes. He doesn't stand up for Jesus. Why? What happened? What is courage? What is that? What is strength? I mean, we can think about it. Because afterwards he goes out and weeps. But you think about it. He was worried about himself. He was thinking about self-preservation. There's all sorts of reasons that we can understand why Peter didn't say, "Yes, I do know Jesus." But after that, he weeps. He understands that he lost his courage. He was afraid. And to be honest, when I think about it, I can relate. Often, my biggest regrets are not saying something, not standing up for something, not saying, especially to Jesus, I need to stand up sometimes and say, "Actually, no, I love Jesus." And that's it's a tough thing. And I think even allowing injustices to happen, there's this fear. What will people think? What will they say? Will they still like me? Why should I stand up and bring hate on myself? Surely Jesus can stand up for it. He doesn't need my discomfort. But then by the same token, you know, I'm an accredited karate instructor and I love boxing. And so I've got all these images in my mind of, you know, I don't know if you've had this, but you're physically intervening to protect your wife or to make sure the kids, you know, you're protecting kids and knowing that you have this strength. I don't know, maybe you have this as well, or maybe it's even happened to you. And sometimes as men, we see our strength in our muscles and in our fists, and let me say that I think this is important. I think as men, as the stronger sex, we need to make sure that we are protecting young people and protecting kids and protecting our wives and women in general. We need to step in. But I feel like these situations are probably relatively few and far between. I don't think I've ever had to do it. And I've been doing combat sports for that time. And so I guess the real thing is me being able to, having the courage to stand up for Jesus seems to happen all the time. So we might leave Peter there for a second and just where we're at and come to Jesus for a minute, because I want to just think about Jesus' reaction when Peter pulls his sword out. So in Matthew 26, I'm going from different gospels here, different accounts of the same event. But Jesus says this. He says, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" So, when Jesus is falsely tried, whipped, punched, spat on, disrespected, mocked, laughed at, given a massive plunk of wood to take up a hill, gets nailed to it and hoisted up in front of everyone for all to see, he's hanging, dying on a cross. What does he say? He says, "Stuff this for a joke. I'm the Son of God. Kill them all. Here we go. 12 legions of angels." Anyone know how many soldiers in a legion? A Roman legion. 6,000, right? He says 12 legions, more than that. 80,000 angels. Just take everyone out. That's what he does. No, of course he doesn't. Although he could. They're mocking him as he's on the cross. They're laughing at him. And what does he say? Thanks, Lockie. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Forgiven. For killing Jesus, they can be forgiven. That's his reaction. So why is this important for us? These role models, these two men that we look at, as we see Jesus, I want us to understand that though we cannot be Jesus, and we will never be like Jesus until glory, we can be forgiven too. That this man, as he hung on the cross, calling out for forgiveness, has offered us this lifeline as well. 2,000 years ago, Jesus dying on a cross was the point where God placed his wrath on his Son. Jesus takes our punishment as he dies as an offer to us so that we don't have to take the punishment that we deserve. He took it all for us. For our cowardliness, our anger, that sometimes our anger, let's be honest, is a way to cover our fear or our sadness or past trauma, our lack of patience, our selfishness, when we explode, when we say nothing to stand up for what's right. If we've tried to solve our issues with our fists, if we stand over people, intimidate people, or raised our voices, we deserve to be obliterated, ultimately. And without him, we will be. That's the reality. Let's be real. For how we've treated each other, for how we treat those we love, more importantly, how we treat God, we absolutely deserve it. But the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus can forgive it all. He took our sin. He took our place. So back to Peter. So Peter weeps, remember. He sees his friend, he's denied his friend, He realizes he's denied his friend. And then he sees his friend die in the most painful, excruciating way anyone can die, humiliating. And of course, at that time, he didn't realize what we all know, spoiler alert, that 3 days later, Jesus would rise. See, Peter didn't know that. Can you imagine the depth of depression that he must have felt those 3 days? But then, of course, Jesus rises. And he goes and he finds Peter. And he sits with him and the other disciples on the beach. And they're having some fish. And they finish eating. And I'll just read along with me with this. This is from John. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So how many times, this is not rhetorical, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? Three times. So just as there is forgiveness offered, there's also restoration offered. We need to ask for it, though. We actually, if we come to Jesus on our knees, understanding our sin, he will restore us. He will forgive us and he will restore us. And we need to work on our shortcomings deliberately as men. When we fail, we need to lay it down before Jesus and follow him. And so, who will you choose as a role model? Because the world will offer many role models in different spheres. And we all look to Jesus. But if you see someone like Peter, can you see him as a role model? Because Peter would go on to be a bold, fearless, unapologetic evangelist. He would call people to Jesus through persecution, beatings, and ultimately, basically happily endured a public and shameful execution in the name of his Lord. But not before that he had been shown the reality of his brokenness, his weakness, and his sin. And so what are we going to do with our brokenness, our weakness, and our sin as men? Are we going to ignore it? Are we going to hide away from it? Are we going to hide it from others? Some people drink it away to try and forget about it. Or will we fall on our knees before a loving Savior, acknowledging our sin every day, fighting the battle, modeling Jesus as an example to our wives, our girlfriends, our kids, our workmates? That's courage. And if you haven't made this decision yet to follow Jesus, can I encourage you to not delay and to make your peace with God? In fact, if that's something that you'd like to do tonight, I'm going to pray a prayer that you can echo in your own mind. But if you do pray this prayer, please don't leave here without talking to myself or the person that brought you or someone else from this church, because it is an amazing, amazing thing to give your life over to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please forgive me when I fail, when I sin, when I'm a coward. Thank you that you went to the cross knowing the pain and the shame. Thank you for taking the punishment I deserved. Help me to be more like Jesus as I acknowledge my brokenness and my sin. Help me to stand up for what's right when it's hard. And please give me the patience, strength, and love of Jesus through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.